You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Football Card Quest. I'm your host, Andy Kaysen. And in this series, we're going to put ourselves in the shoes of a newcomer to the hobby, someone that has just jumped in and started ripping a ton of packs and boxes and has amassed a pretty big collection, but of a bunch of different players. A lot of them, they have no clue who they are. A lot of these cards, they have no clue who they are. And they've never sold anything on eBay in terms of football cards yet. So they've made it to the point now, after ripping so many packs and boxes, that they realize they want to start developing a personal collection of their favorite players, of the players that they're passionate about, right? And not just a normal personal collection, but the holy grail or the ultimate pursuit, right, is to build an incredibly rare card collection of your favorite players. I mean, you should strive to want to, whether it's a rainbow or whether it's a certain insert. Typically guys will go after specific teams of players, or maybe just specific players in general. Maybe you play fantasy football and you want to parlay that with football cards, and you want to collect the guys that have led you to championships or on your dynasty roster. But where do you start? Well, if you've been ripping all those packs and boxes, you've amassed quite a bit of cards that are worth some serious money. And the biggest marketplace for sports cards is eBay. So we're going to talk about setting up the eBay store, tips and tricks on how to get that going, how to build that eBay reputation, start getting those stars next to your name so you can start getting higher prices for your cards, getting the eyeballs on your listings, getting the best sale prices at the end of the day, ultimately flipping the cards that you pulled in packs for a nice profit that you can then turn around and build the ultimate PC personal collection with. So we're going to start from the very beginning and take you guys through all these steps with my special guest, Ryan Haslip, Rhinoverse in the building, guys. And that is exactly what this man, I just introduced you guys to his story into the hobby, kind of overview, not from, I'm sure, exactly his words. So we'll get his take on it. But that is what we're here to do with Ryan's store review. Welcome in, Ryan. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. I've been stoked to get this going. And yeah, I'm ready to take the venture, if you will.
Yeah, well, it's a great venture. I see you got your Falcons jersey on. You got your Falcons hat on. So I'm guessing that's your team.
The Falcons? Yes. Yeah. My Falcon hat never really leaves my head, really. It's pretty much on there 24/7, unless I'm at work. But I figured, you know, you got a Bucks guy over here. So why not kind of rub it in this a little bit? But I mean, you actually won y'all Super Bowl. So we just made appearances.
Dude, I don't have as much hate for the Falcons as I do for the Saints. And I think of like playing the Falcons, it's either you guys destroy us or we destroy you. There has been some close games in there, sure. But I mean, I can remember there's a couple years. I mean, like when you guys were in your prime, like circa 2011 type time frame. About 2011 to 2016, I think. I mean, you guys were just pretty much slaughtering us every year. And I can remember some big blowouts there. But it was like you don't hate those games as much as when they're super close and you lose, you know, based off a controversial flag or, you know, right at the end, like a toe tapper type of play at the end. So. And from a fantasy standpoint, like the Falcons running backs is where it's at. Specifically, Bijan Robinson just drafted out of this year's class. But you know, I like me some Cordarrelle Patterson too.
Yeah, I mean, comment on the Saints. So if there was four things I would take off the planet, it would be hunger, pollution, the Cowboys, and the Saints. So. That would be the four things I would remove from the planet just to make the Earth a better place. I don't know who I would take first, the Cowboys or the Saints. Like they both can go to the same train out of there. So I'm a big – now it's funny because I'm in Texas, so we have a lot of Saints fans here from New Orleans that live in this transplants from over here. But so it's definitely a healthy relationship and fun rivalry for sure. I would like to go to the Superdome one day and watch the Falcons, but I have to wait till they get a little more. I'm a little more sure of myself before I go over there and have the Saints do what they normally do with us at their house. So
I dig it, man. So I was just before you popped in, I was giving everybody in the chat, Derek, Thundering Cards, Chad, Bob, see all you guys out there in the chat. James Wainwright, unsubscribe. These guys are hilarious.
And of course, you always get a little bit of razzing for the choke award or whatever you want to say. And the way I address that is, all that was won by a coin toss. We won the first half. We annihilated in the first half. They annihilated us in the second half, and I guess got the ball first. So, congrats.
Got Larry, the STS guys, always loving Larry's profile pick there. So I was giving the guys a little bit of background about how you got into the football card hobby. You know, how you've ripped a ton of boxes and packs over the past year. And this has been a lot of new product, right, Ryan?
Yeah. So to rewind just a little bit, I've collected comics for a while. I used to collect cards when I was a kid. I did comic books when I was a kid, when younger, and then I moved into football cards and kind of took that same trajectory here. I started with, got back into comics when my wife was pregnant with our first child, and then decided to do something a little bit different when she got pregnant with the second child. And so I started going back to football cards, and it was such a drastic change. Like comics, and it never really changed the style of what you did in comics, but in cards, it was completely different landscape as far as how people collected, what they collected, what you're looking for. Back in my day, we used to do sets. We used to love collect sets. Nowadays, you can just go ahead and turn that into toilet paper nowadays because it just doesn't do anything. And so when I got into the hobby, the packs thing was kind of cool. And I was like, I'll buy a pack here and there. And then I couldn't believe some of the pricing that people are paying for cards. And I talked to someone yesterday, another buddy of mine here locally, and some of the prices that these cards go for, it just shocks me. I'm my job. I've never cease to be amazed by how much some of these cards go for. So I started getting into packs because it was readily available. You know, there was a lot of stuff in the stores, and I liked the challenge of trying to beat the scalpers. That was always fun to try to say, okay, I started learning like when they started coming into the stores and when Walmart dropped and when Target, the lady at Target started doing those over there and started, you know, finding these little nooks and crannies where you can kind of get cards at. And, you know, so that was kind of fun. I liked the hunt. That's what I liked about comics was the hunt. And so when I figured that out, then I started getting heavy into buying packs, and I was really butthurt for a while because people kept saying they pull like signature cards. I'm like, man, I've been opening packs and packs and packs and packs, and how are people pulling these signature cards? I don't understand. I opened so many packs for the longest time, never pulled one signature card or nothing of any kind of specialty or, you know, any that was worth anything. Then I found out about numbered cards. I was like, huh, they actually put the number on the card. So this is how green it was, because we didn't have those back in the day. And in comics, you have numbered comics, but they don't print them on the comics. So I was like, wow, they're on the card. So I went back and I have this stack of cards. I started going through and I said, oh, this has got a number on it. Oh, this has got a number on it. So I started just pulling all these ones that had numbers just in a stack of random cards. So that was pretty cool. And then I started learning about hobby boxes, and I was like, man, a hobby box, that's so expensive. How do you know? But then I started seeing the value of that, and it was like, wow, it didn't take no time. You know, I'm a financial planner advisor by trade, and I wouldn't recommend this as a good investment, but it's a fun pastime for sure. I was like, okay, I started seeing like, hey, I can spend more money on a hobby box and get a lot more bang out of it than I could buy in 100 blasters or mega boxes, whatever it was. So that's what I started going to. And pretty much now that's all the only thing I'll get. I work with a store here locally in Houston area, and I do, they buy a lot of, trade a lot of stuff from me that I have, because I'll open packs and packs and open tons of stuff. And then I just bring them, let them look through it so that they can fill their store shelves up with a product. So I got a pretty good relationship going on there. I'm looking forward to getting that, those optic, boxes coming out. They're supposed to come out, I think the 10th, but I don't know if that's happening or not, but, I do enjoy, you know, opening packs. It's just something about it. It's just a lot of fun. I'm not a gambler. I've never gambled. Not big into that at all. I don't know. I think it's a waste of money. But then I started seeing how there is a gambling aspect to the card pack opening process.
100%. I think it's fascinating that you mentioned you started out with the retail hunting. And I mean, that's a massive appeal that, you know, drove tons of people in the hobby in the beginning, when you could literally, it was so hard to find any prism, any optic, any downers on the shelves, and you could grab it and flip it sealed for, you know, 2-3x, maybe sometimes, you know, now you look at the price from what 2020 has gone up, partly because of the draft class, but yeah, man, it's such a gambling aspect there, and people love the appeal of being able to buy a pack of cards off the shelf at Walmart or Target or whatever, and potentially get like $1,000 plus valued card in there, you know, so that drives that up. And then you mentioned the hobby boxes, and so I'm curious where you get your hobby boxes from. And I've kind of seen the same thing. I do feel that you get more inserts. They put a lot more inserts in hobby boxes. That's clear. You also have a guarantee a lot of times of getting an autograph, getting some other memorabilia, which, you know, we can discuss memorabilia as we get down the road here. But I am curious, like where did you primarily start getting your hobby boxes, and which hobby boxes were you buying?
So initially, I there's only two stores here in the Houston area, which is really weird, because for as big as Houston is, you would think there was more. And that was one of the things that blew me away, because I was like, there's got to be more shops in my area. But there's only two shops in the Houston area that really gets the hobby boxes. There's one called Old Ballpark in Alvin, just south of here. And then there's one in Houston. That's one I typically go to mostly. It's called Houston Sports Connection. And they've been around for a long, long time. And they get just like, they have hobby boxes going back for years and years on the shelves. And they get new stuff in. And, you know, it comes in and you kind of have to, if you're not there, it'll just be gone by the time you get to it. Because so many people are buying these things in bulk. And the first hobby box I purchased or got was Phoenix, because it was just a cool card. I enjoyed it. I didn't see much of it. And coming from the comic world, you want things that are more rare. That you want things that are like little less scarce, that maybe you don't have so many of. And so I liked the Phoenix because I realized that there's no retail for Phoenix. It's just hobby boxes. So it would have to be a collector that would go to a collector that would go to a shop to get those type of cards. You couldn't just get them at Target or Walmart. And that appealed to me. So I got a couple of boxes there. And then I've gotten, like, this year I got the Prism from this year, and I got, I guess, Optic is coming out, like I said, in the next couple of weeks. I got Phoenix this year as well. I'm trying to think what other boxes I've got, but I like the hobby box because, like you said, it gives you inserts, and still the inserts, it seems like they're very hit or miss. But the guarantee of, like, getting an auto, and even that is kind of weird because you can get two autos, but it can be two, like, offensive lineman rookies from, like, the fourth or fifth round. And so you're kind of left holding the bag on that. Fortunately, that hasn't happened to me too much. In my last hobby, which was Prism, I got Derek Stingley from that. He was a first round pick for the Texans, which is good for my area. Anytime I get Texas stuff, it's good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
From America, because I'm in Houston. But I got his auto, and then I didn't get a second autograph, but I did pull a manga card. So I guess he swapped out the autograph for the manga.
Hey, not going to complain with that. Who was on the manga?
Barry Sanders. I brought it out so you can. Yeah, it's Barry Sanders.
Fire. Not going to complain with that one bit. So part of what we're going to do here on the show, Ryan, is that sounds like a ton of cards you've now got. I see cards stacked up behind you. With all the boxes you just mentioned, the one thing I know about hobby boxes, you get a lot of cards out of the box. I mean, you get a lot of base cards, you get a lot of inserts, you get some rare cards. And if you're lucky, you pull a manga Barry Sanders, man, right there. That's hit the jackpot.
Yeah, this year has been really good to me as far as pulls go. I don't know if you want to get into the whole downtown thing, but yeah, it's been really good as far as pulls go this year. So,
well, I am curious, like which brand? Well, before I ask you which brand, has there been anything that you've noticed in common, like a common denominator? What would you say is the biggest common denominator, or something that you've noticed in common between all the boxes that you've ripped, hobby boxes?
So one of the, I want to talk about retail and then I'll talk about hobby. One of the things I noticed about retail is that if you get to the, like, your blasters or if they have a mega, if you get to them right when they hit the shelves, like in that first month, it seems like they're a lot more stacked with autos and numbered cards. I think that they put out those initially on the front lines when they come out, because then people start pulling, they're talking about it, and it causes more people to go out and go buy it.
That's how they suck people in. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If I was Panini, I would load up the initial boxes. So it's like people pull it, they tell their friends about it, this and that. Dude, that is a brilliant observation.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've noticed, because like this, or even like with Prestige, like I I thought something was weird because I pulled like three autos out of like four or five boxes. But then after that, I kept pulling, like I couldn't find anymore after that. And I was like, that's so weird. But then I started seeing like kind of like a trend. It was always the first few boxes, the first month or so. And then after that, it really starts drying out. Like you see a lot of, like even last year's, what was that? The very last set that came out last year, the not Contenders.
For 2023?
The Chronicles. The Chronicles. For
2022, yeah.
Yeah, the Chronicles. You can find those all over the place, and they're kind of left around because the first initial wave of them had a lot of good cards, but now that last wave is just terrible. There's nothing but, you know, commons in them. Now, as far as, like, hobby boxes, it seems like it's very hit or miss. It feels like you're going to get a box that's, like, it's legit, or you're going to get one and be like, dang, I got to get another box, or... you're going to feel sad about what you'd pick. So there's not like a outside of like, can you find, I don't know of any difference of way, you know, I mean, I know there's people that weigh stuff or whatever. The only thing I've ever like tried to do is like try to see if something's heavy in my hands, but that could go two ways, I guess. But anyways, but yeah, I check out the weight at the store and see like, hey, you know, is one heavier than another? And it seems like the heavier one will have like, you know, will have like a memorabilia or something like that in it. But as far as like the hobby boxes, I did like the Phoenix. It seems like they had like a few more hits in it. And I still don't know if they'll end up being more valuable because there's less of them. I'm really kind of waiting to see how that turns out. Because you would think that they're scarce, that they would be a little more valuable. But again, the card collectors are so different from the comic collectors because they go for different things. And it's almost like the more popular a card is, even though it's readily available, it will still garner a lot of a higher return.
Sure, and that's why the base Prism rookie card, especially in a PSA 10 slab, still does what it does today. But and between that and the coveted rated rookie, even if it's, you know, in the base Donruss set that's on that base paper card stock, if you can get that sucker and get it in a PSA 10 grade, you could potentially take a Trevor Lawrence from a $10 raw card on eBay all day long and turn that into an $80 or $100 card all of a sudden, you know. Yeah. So there's big potential there, and it goes back to the brand recognition on the card. So I'm curious from your standpoint of ripping all these boxes, which brand have you had the best success with? And maybe this is a luck component, right? Because we just talked about all the luck that kind of goes into it and how quickly you get it, and you're getting a lot of stuff from your local card shop. So I'm guessing that they're in the know, like they're getting product when it's getting released and stuff. So,
yeah. So like the hobby boxes, I haven't seen like a very like heavy at the beginning or heavy at the back end on the hobby boxes. Retails I have, but the hobby, it's been really hit or miss on those boxes. It doesn't seem like I'm real excited. I've been waiting for these optics to come out because we haven't had like a good set to open up since Prism, but that has been good. Now I've had some, I don't know if you call it luck or if I just knew how to get the right blasters as far as Donruss comes, because I've hit a number of downtowns, and that has been, at one time looked up, I thought there was cameras on me somehow because of the amount I've pulled thus far, and I'm just like, until this year I had only pulled one, but I pulled six this year.
You pulled six downtowns this year out of how many Donruss hobby boxes?
It's out of these are actually out of blasters, and it's been maybe about 13 blasters, maybe 13.
Wow,
or 14.
Wow, man. About a 50% pull rate on the downtown, which is advertised as a case hit. And a case is supposedly 12 hobby boxes.
Yeah, I've been real curious as to hear if there's anyone else out there because, I mean, like I pulled the first one and it was Barry Sanders. I was really excited because, you know, you hit like a downtown. I was kind of like tripping. Then like the second one was a Josh Allen. I was like, wow, this is amazing. When I got the first Barry, I took it to the shop that I usually go to and they took it in as for for trade, and I used it for toward my hobby boxes. But the Barry came out first, and then the Josh Allen was second. And I was like, you know, I was pretty much like, yeah, this is like, this is what I'll, this will be, you know, this will all I'll see this whole year. So I was happy to get two. Then I pulled another one. It was a Rob Gronkowski. And I was like, it was just, I couldn't believe it again. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I'll pull another one. I don't know. So I went, and what I did was I would go, since it was a case hit, I was going to different retail stores. So I would go to like to a different Walmart or a different Target or whatever. And I always pulled the fourth box, but I know there's no rhyme or reason to how they're in there. It's just I like number four. So I always pull the number four box. But like even at Barnes and Noble's, I would tell them, give me the fourth box and down there, and they'd have to pull down a couple of boxes and give me the one I wanted. And then I pulled Kenny Pickett. So that was really awesome.
Nice.
Then I pulled Adrian Peterson. And I thought for sure that was the last one I was going to pull. Then last week, I went to a Target run or a Walmart around not too far from here. And they've been doing a lot of, I figured that first wave or whatever was happening in that set, that flux of like a product that came out, they must have maybe overpacked them with them or something like that. So I knew like, it seems like I've gotten about three more boxes since then. I haven't seen anything thus far, but I did get one, the last box at this Walmart that was having a bunch of construction done. So they were closed for a little bit. And the last box had another Kenny Pickett in it.
What's downtown?
Yeah. So I got two Kenny Pickett downtowns, a Josh Allen, a Barry Sanders, Rob Gronkowski, and AP.
Holy crap, man. So, I mean, this is like the first major tip, and a lot of it, I would imagine it's outside of your control, but guys, if you buy in retail, try and get it when it first drops. And if you are going to be ripping to then flip on eBay to build your personal collection, it's best to start with some good cards, and downtown is a good card. I mean, looking at the sales results here, sharing on the screen, downtown sell. They sell a lot, Ryan. These cards sell for good money. If you go back in time, look at 2019 downtown. There's literally only 69 results right now on eBay. 2020, now all of a sudden you're starting to get into like that 500-600 range. And then 2021, you can see 1,500 plus. But then you come 2022, because it is a new product, we're going back down right now. There's only about 650 to 700 listings of downtown on eBay that classify in football. And there's also 2021. You can think about it. Some of those are college downtowns. So we're specifically talking about pro downtowns here. That's a good card. I mean, I don't know, in terms of aesthetics, Ryan, do you like it better than the look of a Kaboom? Or do you think a Kaboom is better than a downtown?
I like the downtown because I like art, and I think it's cool that they put like, you know, these just like the Josh Allen one is pretty cool because I like the big buffalo in the back.
And you pulled seven of them, so
yeah. It's just cool, like the big like buffalo in the back. It's just like those are pretty cool. And then the AP one was it's got a big Viking back here in the corner if you kind of see him. Let me see if I get it. Yeah, they're just interesting to look at. And then I've always thought Gronk was just a cool cat. And this is right up your alley with the whole Broncos situation.
Yeah.
Or not Broncos, Buccaneers situation, sorry. So
Yeah, I like that. Veteran Gronk. Right now, that veteran Gronk Tampa Bay downtown 2022, that's about $175, $200 to $200 card.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I just could not believe that's just exactly. I thought about it. I was like, man, I don't know if I just smoked all my my lottery juju on downtowns. I should have taken some numbers off of some of the boxes or something like that and used them on lottery tickets or something. Because I think all my juice has got spent on downtowns.
So I think you're joining. We're starting this show at the perfect time. And the reason why I say that is because I'm going to use your downtown as a primary example, right? You've got a mix between some very, very relevant active players and some Hall of Famers there that are retired, but everybody knows their name. Like, everybody knows who Rob Gronkowski and Adrian Peterson and Barry Sanders is, you know? Yeah. And then you've got guys like Kenny Pickett entering his second year on the Pittsburgh freaking Steelers, one of the biggest fan bases in the country. He's the hometown kid, went to Pitt. He's in an ascending offense. I mean, they're going to – all signs point to them getting better this year, entering his second year. So people are still very hyped up. You can see the sales prices. And you also had a Josh Allen too, right? And
yeah.
You pulled a Josh Allen. So these cards right now are selling for some really good money. Obviously, you're looking at a positive ROI on the boxes you rip. But my concern is that once Optic is released, the Optic downtowns may supersede these base Donruss downtowns. Now, all of a sudden, these are still very – they're still liquid, right? They're still liquid, but they're just not quite as valuable.
Holding the same value.
Yeah, because now you have the Optic laser downtowns, plus you have all the other Optic just regular Optic holo downtowns that are printed on a thicker cardstock with the Optic finish to them.
Yeah, I liked it. And like I said, I've been waiting for those Optic to come out. I'm looking right now to see if they have a release time on the – on Panini's site. No, it just still says coming soon. They originally were supposed to come out on the 10th. So I guess they got pushed back a little bit. Yeah, that ho-ho-ho there, that garners a lot of attention to Santa Claus.
The question is, did you pull a Santa Claus?
I did not do that one. That one I did not. And so, the other part of me, you know, is that I've sent books in for grading, but I've never sent any cards in. And I feel like, you know, I need to look at him. A couple of the cards, I think it was the Josh Allen. The Josh Allen has like a print line that goes through it, and all of them have it. If you pull that Josh Allen up that we just saw, I almost guarantee in the description it's going to say that it has a print line or something in it. If you look in the description, I'd be interested in see if that's what it says.
Let's see. So this is a great, great example here. Let's look at the picture.
Yeah, it's on the front. It's like above his. Yeah, it's kind of like above him, or yeah, it's right around.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Right around his. So look in the description if they say it. It might be an angle where you can't see. You kind of have to put it at an angle to see it.
Definitely.
Josh Allen.
Now, real quick, before I do that, have you set up your eBay store at all?
My eBay store is set up, but it's very clean. There's nothing on it right now, so I'm
on it. How many feedback do you have on your your name?
I have a lot of great feedback, but it's all as a buyer. I bought a ton.
It's all as a buyer.
Yeah, and so that was part of the challenge that I kind of, when I was talking to you about this, is like, man, this would be cool to get like a very fresh eBay store that's first time cards are being introduced, because I've done comics and stuff like that, and then see kind of what in a year's time, what kind of happens to it in a year's time. That's kind of was my thought process on going down this road. I was going to say, let me have a kickoff and then see kind of monitor it and see how it does in a year. And I want to use a lot of the software and algorithms that you have set up on the Patreon stuff, because on there you have lots of little like things that if you're a Patreon member, you can get you have access to like the different data that you provide for when to put things on a sale and so on and so forth. So I want to kind of use that to see how that helps grow the store.
100%. And that's patreon.com/footballcards that Ryan is referring to. We got a lot of stuff going on over there. But I'll say, so that's great that you have. So that's the first tip if you guys are brand new to buying and selling football cards on eBay, the largest marketplace for sports cards. You can build feedback as a buyer. When you click into it, won't have specific feedback on you as a seller, but as a buyer, you can start to get this number built up. And the better that this is, the more that you'll start to get recognized as a reputable person, whether it is a buyer or a seller. And so, and then you got good cards. So this is the other thing I want to look at here. These pictures are arguably the second biggest thing on eBay, guys. And this person right here did not take appropriate pictures. You got to take a picture of the card raw. You cannot see print lines, defects. You cannot see the edges as well. You can't see the surface as well. You can't see anything as well as if it was just a raw card. So I am totally a proponent of the one touch because it does make it look classy. It makes it look nice. It highlights some of the features of the card. It makes it look like you protect it well, but you can't see all the details. You got to take a picture of it raw as well. That's a big, big takeaway of looking at this listing specifically right here.
Yeah, so what I did is actually I built a little spot in my garage where I've kind of staged a little like stage to take my cards. So take my pictures for my cards. I'm going to make sure that the shadows are not, you know, that are right. I have the decent lighting so that you can see, you know, kind of what the card looks like. But then there's a spot to go next to there to take like close up pictures of the actual card themselves, because, you know, these cards, they don't, you know, they're in a pack, you know. It's hard to get stuff out. Did you look did you look at the description on there? Did it say it had anything in there?
No, it didn't say anything.
Huh. I want to see I don't know if this was actually if it was the Josh Allen or if it was a different one. It might. Oh yeah, it is the Josh Allen. Huh. Yeah. So it has like this, and I've looked at other listings, and they've said it on there, another listings. But it's actually down toward the bottom. Sorry, I thought it was at the top. It's down toward the bottom of the card. And it's just got, I mean, you know, I'm new to get the whole grading thing, but like right on over his name, the Allen name, like right through the E and the N, there's like some print line or something going on there. And I've seen three or four listings that have said the same thing.
Now, the one thing I'll ask you, have you gone and tried to find a PSA 10 of that card to see if it had the same?
I have not.
Characteristic. So that is one tactic that I always recommend if you're curious if that is something that is consistent, like it's on every card. Maybe it's just part of the design for some reason. It's like a Panini defect. And there's some things like print lines that PSA will overlook.
Yeah, so there's a 10.
So let's pull this bad boy up. Doesn't look like a great picture, but we can zoom in. So where exactly
did you see? It would be like it'd be over an Allen name over the E and the N right around there on the bottom. And it would be, yeah, I don't see it on that one. So maybe
is it horizontal or vertical?
It's up and down.
Okay. I do see if you look closely here. And it's hard to see, guys, but I do see a little bit of a line even in this picture. E. Yep, right below the E.
Yeah, yep.
You can see a line there.
Yeah. So, like, they might know about it, and maybe they overlooked that particular item
because PSA does overlook print lines on certain sets, certain inserts, because they're very common. A lot of times, so they're right part there. Of the manufacturer.
You can see right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see this card is a PSA 10. So
it's going right through the Buffalo's head right there. You can see it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's definitely part of the card. Does not look like it's part of the slab at all. So this is a great way to kind of gauge what you could potentially get as a PSA 10.
Yeah. And I don't see many. Are there any others?
Probably not. If I had to guess, it's probably a very low pop, single digits, and the rest maybe not even back yet.
yeah so Yeah, so I mean, like, that one got through, but maybe they don't all get through, whatever. Because I don't know if, like, in cards, it's probably similar to, like, it is in comics. And if the guy who's grading your book, you know, if his girlfriend was mad at him the night before and made him sleep on the couch, something like that, you're going to get a bad grade the next day.
You are going to get, yeah. So I was looking at this comment here from James. He sold his 1,000th item on eBay today. Most of that has been cards since finding the quest 2 years ago and only a handful of auctions. Let's go, James. Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, so that stuff works awesome.
Yeah, so I'm happy to get your store started, guys. These are going to be weekly shows that we do right now during the off season. It'd probably be something like tonight, like Monday night. We're able to get our schedules to match up. We both have busy work and family schedules, so we got our schedule to match up tonight. We're going to keep it to a tight 1 hour, and we want to go through these tips and tricks. We want to answer live questions from you guys in the chat. If you have any about cards, we want to help Ryan prioritize. So the other thing I'm curious, we got to ask you, Ryan, do you play fantasy football?
Oh, yeah. I actually so the first time I saw your show was earlier this last football year, and you were doing underdog, or is it underdog, or what's the dog?
Yes, we are affiliated, partnered with there. It's up this corner, Underdog Fantasy, underdogfantasy.com. That's where we do all of our best ball drafts, man. We love doing playing best ball.
So I did that for the first time on your show at the beginning of the year. But I've been playing fantasy football for a long time, 15 plus years. One of my leagues I've been in since the beginning. I'm still in it today. And typically I'm in, like, I don't have any what they call it, dynasty leagues, I guess they call them, like, perpetual. But I'm in, like, usually somewhere between four. I keep it about four. Going to five is difficult. Four is difficult with having two kids now, but usually about 3 or 4 a year.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's why we play more best ball. That's why I play more best ball, you know, because I don't have to worry about start-sit decisions on a weekly basis. I don't have to make those waiver wire moves on Tuesday, remember to do that for all my leagues, and then set the rosters. No, I just draft a big team before the season, and the draft is so much fun. If I focus on that, get that right, now I got a big team, and it's just optimized every week by Underdog automatically. And then I've got a chance to either beat my friends in a private league or take down a big tournament that they have, like Best Ball Mania 4, that's over $15 million in prizes, man. Their biggest tournament ever. And you can get 100% instant deposit bonus with promo code Quest, guys. We're going to be doing another live Underdog draft later this week. We're gonna be doing every week from here until the season starts, and I'm now working on my quarterback rankings, a wide receiver, running back, tight ends, all that stuff, and getting those hype index fleshed out so we can really hone in on helping you prioritize selling your cards. But with Optic coming out in a few weeks, I feel that those downtowns
they get up.
Yeah, those should be your first listings. And I'm a big fan of listing in a buy it now, Ryan, because, you know, one, if you're doing an auction and you don't have a big reputation as a seller,
that's one of my scares.
They're not going to, people aren't going to respect you enough. They're not going to know you enough. eBay is essentially a social media platform where you can also buy and sell. And so pictures are a big thing. Seller reputation is huge on there. So if you're running an auction as just a little baby store, chances are you're going to get pushed down in the algorithm and people click on that, and they're going to see that you have only a few feedback, and they're going to get a little nervous. Now, of course, if the price is good enough, they're going to roll the dice and take that chance, just like I would if I saw your Josh Allen downtown ending for under $100. Heck yeah, man, I'm gonna go in, try and snipe it. But if it was in a buy it now all of a sudden, you know, you can negotiate with people, you can have people message you, ask you about details on the card, you can send them respond additional messages, you can also require immediate payment. I see this comment in the chat from a Chad. So this is one thing, if you guys have watched some of my most popular videos, and this was a total discovery with the help of Carter Bryant, my other co-host on the Questcast, that taking pictures of your card in a one touch do add value. And I've showed it time and time again. The problem is there are some buyers out there that then expect that one touch to be shipped with the card. And even if you put it in the description, and I put it every single description, like I have a boilerplate description in my sticky notes app on my computer, Ryan, that says, and I'll pull it up on the screen because I use the same thing every time. But even with this, they can still potentially claim that that's false advertising. And the one of the problems that with eBay is they will side with the buyer nine times out of 10, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that the one touch, you know, I put a lot of stuff in here in one touch because I like it to look good, and you know, I just think it looks way better in that. And so I have a criteria of what gets a one touch and what doesn't. But I guess like with, you know, being able to take raw pictures too, not only in one touch, but to have extra pictures in raw, maybe I could take pictures on a stand and say like, well, I didn't include the stand either. You can expect me to stand as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Did you expect me to ship the whole photo box with this? And this is kind of small font here, so I don't know if I can really blow that up, but let me see. So yeah. This is basically what I put in every single listing I put.
Yeah, and my plan is I would like to start things at a dollar. You know, at some point when I seem to get a little more, because I do have a lot of feedback, and I would hope that people would see that if I got good seller feedback or buyer feedback, that I kind of keep the same seller feedback. But it'll be interesting to see how long it'll be before I can start doing like dollar starts and stuff.
Yeah, I try to make it to where it's very, like I had a person message me the other day on a Justin Jefferson optic hollow. He's like, is this a little surface defect in the bottom right of the card that I'm seeing? Or is that, what is that? And so I took additional photos of the car. I'm like, man, I think so. It's not coming off. I mean, it might be. Like I want to try and avoid the refund claim and go through that whole process as much as possible. Because for example, if you sold your Josh Allen like at the end of this week and somebody bought it, and then a week after that, so now we're talking 2 weeks, you mailed it out, it takes another week to get to that person. Now they claim this has a surface defect that they didn't agree to, they didn't think was on there, they want a refund. Now they send it back, they have like another week to do that,
and then all the ults come out.
Yeah, and then all the optics come out, and you potentially miss a window of opportunity. So ideally, I'd rather sell it to somebody that is.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Completely 100% satisfied with the purchase up front. And I think it's you know, depending on how much volume you end up selling, it's not going to happen a ton unless you're just... that's why it's important to really, if somebody's, you know, making a lowball offer, definitely want to click into their name and like check their feedback and stuff.
That's the crazy thing with the card situation. You know, like I think I told you before, in comics, for there to be a no pay, or for someone to slow pay, maybe slow pay, you know, okay, but for someone to win something and not pay on it, it's like so rare. It's like you'll get blackballed. You'll get like, you don't want to get ruined, your name ruined in the community. Cause if that happens, it just makes it 10 times harder to get what you're trying to find. But in cards, it's so prevalent. It's so it's like someone dealing with mosquitoes. Like, it's like they're there. You're just gonna deal with them, you know. And it's so weird that it's like it's almost accepted that that's gonna happen at, you know, point.
Dealing with mosquitoes. Yeah. So we've actually started a channel in our Discord that's called eBay Buyers and Sellers to Avoid. And I mean, the channel is active because we're constantly posting up people in there, like this guy that screwed Chad over, you know, Chad put it in all caps, and the guy gave him negative feedback on that, or the guy that I dealt with that, you know, I sold him the Breece Hall, and then Breece Hall tears his ACL
and he's returning it.
And he wants, of course, he wants to return, man, because the price values dropped after that. And that, you know, that kind of stuff happens. Little did he know, he could just hold the card. And now that Rodgers is on the Jets, that card's going to be worth even more heading into this season, as Breece Hall is only heading into his second year.
You should tell him, send a message and say thank you for returning that card, by the way.
it's going to work out in my favor anyways.
You have a good question that maybe other folks have asked, or maybe you've said talked to you before, or talk about, but I heard you and your other co-host before, what's his name? The gentleman that you do that does the, he does a lot of college.
Carter.
Carter, yeah. So when you're doing eBay sales, you say usually you try to coach to start, if you're going to do an auction, start it at one, but start it at $1. But like someone myself, it's like if you start an auction and you start it too high, then you're going to get frowned upon versus if you just did it as a buy it now at a higher price. My view on it is that if you start an auction at not a dollar, but closer to what a buy it now price would be, still under, but closer to what a buy it now price would be, it gives the opportunity for some people that want to purchase that particular card, instead of someone jumping, beating them to the punch, it gives them the opportunity to try to win the card if they choose to. Not so much as I want to try to get the most money out of it, but does it give the opportunity to the buyers that are out there?
So are you talking about, for example, we have this same seller that was the guy that didn't have the raw photo of the Josh Allen downtown. This guy has a $90 starting auction ending next Monday night, so a week from now. Starting at $90, or he's got to buy it now at $160. Are you talking about doing something like this? Because if we were to actually look at what the value of this card is currently for Herbert, I mean, he's valued. I would have to put like the value of his base rated rookie PSA 10 lower than that of Burroughs. Burroughs is currently at 130. He's the top dog from the 2020 class right now.
We'll see. The 130, the 160 is way over. That's overpriced, right? That's too much for that particular car. At least if you're comparing to.
Yeah. But I mean, his current trend is 70. So when I see something like there's an $80 buy it now, that's pretty much the best you're going to get.
Yeah.
$80 buy it now. That was yesterday. So when I see something that's starting at 90, so okay, even if this guy were to start his auction at $80.
That doesn't even make sense.
I look at him like, okay, he's a brand new seller, so he doesn't really know how to comp cards. B, he may clearly doesn't really want to sell this card.
Yeah.
He's wasting his time even doing an auction. He's not going to get any bids on this card because anybody with half a brain is going to go look at the sold items. You don't have to have the Keep 'Em web app that we have, that all the patrons have access to. You can actually find this data just by digging through eBay sold items using the sold items filter down on the left-hand side of any search result, or on your phone app. You just go to more filters and it's right there, sold items, and you can click on that.
It annoys me so much too to have so much clutter in the background. It annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, that's not ever a good idea either. Yeah, because it takes away, because you got to, when you're scrolling on eBay, you're only seeing a little thumbnail, you know, so you're looking at a little thumbnail, it just just definitely does not help that card stand out, what you're trying to do, you know. So he's not going to get any bids on this card. So that's not what you're talking about, right? You're talking about starting an auction at what the buy it now would be, right?
Like if that has a buy it now at 80, start an auction at like 60, and then you have a buy it now. But you know, so that, because it's kind of low, it's lower. It gives room for people to kind of get, you know, to take a swipe at it if they're wanting that card. Versus like, instead of starting it at like a dollar, because a dollar is so low, you have a very, you know, being new, you have a very big chance that you could get screwed.
I'm going to go with Chad's answer here. Dude's just got the card listed to prove to his wife that he's selling it. Hey, babe, I'm trying over here.
Yeah.
Knowing she's funny never going to look up what they're currently comping for. I find that interesting. You know, ultimately, I think the best way to do auctions is starting at 99 cents to initially draw people in, because there's people that will that research on eBay every day, and they're going through listings. If they find one at 99 cents, even if it's ending a week from now, they will go ahead and put in a bid. And what that does is it sends them a notification whenever it goes up. And now it's like they're setting their threshold, because they know what it comps at. They know they want it. Why not go ahead and put in their max bid? And then as the week progresses, that card's going to end up closing for market value regardless. So it's like, yeah, you're kind of creating this bidding war. I'm afraid that if you set it for 60, now if you had the buy it now option there of 80, I guess you could potentially, as that, yeah, that, man, that's a tough one. The timing's got to be right. You don't want to shoot yourself in the foot and potentially someone click to buy it now when you could have got more in the auction. But I guess if you're doing just an auction and you've comped it out based on what the buy it now solds are going for, and you're starting a little bit lower, you would get some people in because they can see what the average sold value is currently for that card, especially popular
like
card
or something like that. Like, you might come in lower, but really, I think at the beginning, one of the things I'm trying to do is also let people know that I'm not going to be overpricing or anything, that it's going to be a place that they can come to and find, maybe I'll find the card that they're looking for at a price that they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an interesting strategy. One that I think would be great if we actually tested it out. If you want to be the guinea pig, there's one thing that I've heard from. So you have a lot of players that you're not really interested in or passionate about, right? Because of all the boxes.
Yeah. If it's not Falcons, it's like, it's pretty much on the block.
Is Bijan Robinson going to be your super collection PC guy?
He'll be going after next year. Yes.
Nice. So you have all these guys, and I've heard that from a lot of guys that rip a lot of boxes and packs, that there's like a player that follows them, and they always happen to like pull the same guy out of every pack. And it's like a random guy. Do you have a guy like that?
Oh yeah. I have a couple of them actually. So I wonder if I have, I think I have a couple of them right here. Actually, one of them is, he's a tight end he's a rookie tight end for the Cardinals. Terry McBride, I think his name is. Yeah, of course I know.
Trey McBride, starting tight end for the Cardinals?
Yes. I'm trying to look if I have it's right here, I think. Hold on a second. It's right here somewhere. Yeah, I have, he follows me. Hold on, I got to shake. It's just crazy. And they follow you.
Yeah, you find that. I like Trey McBride, the player, but you compare him to this year's tight end draft class, maybe not so good. But, I mean, the guy was pretty good at Colorado State. He is a second-round draft pick from last year, best comparable to Heath Miller. But he plays for the Cardinals, so it's like,
So, yeah, I got Trey McBride on lock. So this is like I guess this is called the classic. It's one of the hobby boxes I got. So that's a cool looking card. But then I think this was the first auto I got of his. So I got Turn of the Century. Auto.
Turn of the Century is from Elite, released early in the season. Very popular insert. Great card.
And this was out of a blaster, I'm pretty sure. But then I got three of the select ones, all the same card, just different versions of it. These were all pulled out of packs. So, yeah, he follows me. One of them's number looks like the 49, but it's the same one, just red, white, and then a silver. And then one of the other ones that follows me, God, man, I wish I could shake him too, is Pierre Strong for the New England Patriots. This guy, I got like, I can't tell you how many of his autos and cards I have random all over the place. I wish it was someone cool. Like, why can't I get like London to follow me somewhere?
Well, so Pierre Strong, he does have some upside, you know, there. He runs a sub-4.4, incredibly fast guy, but he's only 5'11", 207, and he was not drafted until the fourth round of last year. But he plays for the Patriots, so this is promising, and the Patriots didn't spend any significant draft capital. Actually, they didn't spend any draft capital this year on running back, which is a big deal because normally they do, right? You Ramondre Stevenson, clear leader in the backfield there. They bring in James Robinson, who's a UDFA. Really, he may be just a one-year wonder type of guy. He hasn't been able to get back to struggle with injuries, and he doesn't have the draft capital to really warrant these types of contracts or opportunity. And they got a big dude named Kevin Harris. But right now, Pierre Strong is their secondary running back. So if anything happens to Ramondre Stevenson, Pierre Strong's going to be the guy there. Could potentially have a big breakout this year.
Yeah, how many running backs do you know from the Patriots?
Well, I mean, I'd say like Steven Jackson, LeGarrette Blunt kind of.
Yeah, come but to mind they did stuff other places. But not at the Patriots. Patriots never run the ball, man. They never. Now they did with Brady. So maybe with Mac, or I don't know if Mac's gonna make it through or not. Whoever.
Then they brought in Bill O'Brien. You know, so I mean, it's gonna be a little bit better calling this year. A little bit more dynamism than last year with Matt Patricia calling plays. But the whole thing for me is, look, young guy, super fast, and plays for the Patriots. You check those three boxes, and all of a sudden, his cards have the potential to go up exponentially in value from one game. Let's say it's a Monday night game, a Thursday night game. The Patriots get put in a lot of primetime game scenarios, and Ramondre goes down the first quarter. This guy, Pierre Strong, comes on the field, scores a couple tutties. All of a sudden, his values are going to go up 10x in that one game that night.
I'll be waiting. I have a bunch of him and McBride.
And so that's the beauty of I love the Pierre Strong over McBride because Pierre's a second-year running back on the Patriots versus a second-year tight end on the Cardinals, and Pierre Strong runs a 4.37. Like, let's go. You know, so I like that.
Stats.
Yeah, and that's another reason to have it in a buy it now, because you can take a Pierre Strong and say, okay, this is what a Breece Hall is currently selling for. I'm not expecting him. I'm not. Look. I would never ever say to value Pierre Strong's dynasty fantasy value the same as Breece Hall. But when it comes to cards, you can capitalize on a news event, a media event, and that is most notably like a primetime game, or even the opening weekend, or something. Even down the stretch, anytime this season. If a rookie player, which Pierre Strong would be viewed as a rookie player for the Patriots, comes out and has a big game, all of a sudden his values will spike because of FOMO or fear of missing out. And that's when you can capitalize on those impulse buyers if your listing's in a buy it now. So honestly, I mean, it's not – the upside's not there right now, but it will be for that guy, potentially. There's a good chance. Like, that's a solid chance. Like, you know, so
I'm glad. I have everything kind of – I've separated, you know, players. I'm now making boxes just of quarterbacks and then receivers and then like running backs, receivers, and quarterbacks. And then I'm starting to do some defense now because I got some sauce autos and small or short, you know, little or small numbered series and some Who's the guy from the Lions? I got a few autos of him too. And
Jameson Williams?
No, not the receiver, the defensive guy.
Oh, Aiden Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, baby. Hometown hero right there for the Lions, man. Rookie season.
Yeah, I catch that on my Ramad. Yeah, I started pulling Ramad, actually. I got a bunch of his because he's fairly new too. I got a bunch of his rookies and whatnot as well.
That's awesome, man.
I got a lot of players. I got a lot of cards for a lot of players. And that's my biggest thing too. I really like to try to help out the collector. I want to be able to be there for the collector and my store is called Rhinoverse on eBay. And I have Rhinoverse all through all platforms. But if someone lets me know that they're collecting that particular like player or team or something like that, I usually will do what I can to give them a sweet deal because I want to be able to bring it to the I want to be able to bring product to the collector, and because that's what I would want done for me as well.
And that's another benefit of our Discord. We do have the patron card market. Everybody's vetted in there. They all have a little bit of skin in the game. I mean, even if you're in the base tier that we have, it's $6 a month. So you have some vested interest, and you know that everybody in there is more or less vetted, and you have this accountability. And so we do have a patron card market, and I'm the same way. Anytime anybody wants to make a deal with anything in my eBay store, I will give them that 15% discount, maybe more, depending on how much I get to know them and how much I know that they are like into that player and stuff. And so we're gonna wrap it up here, Ryan. I think we've covered a lot in this initial episode, and I'm excited next week to like really dive into your eBay store and start pricing out some of these cards for you. And I think your homework this week, you know what it is, man. Get those downtowns listed, baby.
Get them up in there, yeah, for sure. I'll get some good pictures up of them on there. And anyone from the show, if you hit up the eBay store and you let me know that you saw the show and whatnot, I'll work with you on what it is. I want to be able to be one of the good sellers to those that are collectors for sure.
Yep. But we appreciate you guys, Flaps TV, Chad, Bob, Eclipse, yeah. James. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight, Joel. I love that Joel Curtis Martin bald as a Patriot. That's true, man. That's true. That's a good one, brother. So appreciate you guys, and I look forward to the next episode of Ryan's store review.
The Rhinoverse on eBay.
All right, guys. Peace. Later.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito,
buddy it up with a honey buddy,
or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.